major points to emphasize. Amer could really be the name of the 3M company, could have been named after the mysterious Malachus Ma'amer, because Ma'amer is one of the Lamatas Malachus. It's clearly a big deal, but there's very little about it in the Gemara. And a lot of the major sugyas of Ma'amer are about figuring out what's missing, figuring out why Ma'amer is missing from various discussions, and therefore working off of that premise and trying to define it. So we usually try to begin the discussion by trying to translate the word into English. So Ma'amer is, again, a challenge. How would you try to translate Ma'amer into English? To bring together, is it just gathering? It's clearly a certain type of gathering. Is it perhaps involve tying or grouping? All of this is subject to major machlokes. And as always, it seems that we have to keep in mind a little bit its placement here, that there is also an emphasis on the fact that it comes right after kotzer. So kotzer, as we also saw, is somewhat subject to definition, that it seems like it involves cutting something off of something else, but that could be translated as harvesting. So ma'amer could be understood as part of the process of harvesting. Something is cut off, or a tree, let's say, or a plant, and then it's bundled together, so that bundling perhaps is the definition of Ma'amer. So there's just a very brief passage here in the Gemara 9 Gimlum Beis, and it's a mysterious passage. It gives us a lot to try to figure out and tells us less than we are left wondering about. And the Gemara says, towards the bottom of 9 Gimlum Beis, Omer Rava, which could be Omer Rabba. That itself is also a big issue. What's the proper gersa? Is it Rava or Rabba? Haiman de kanif milcha mi milchasa. If somebody gathers salt from a salt place, which is a good question, what's a salt place? There's two types of salt. There's salt that comes from the sea, and there's salt that comes from rocks. Here, Rashi writes, Shetzavar melech masreifos mayim. There are these places on the beach, by the water, where the salt is drawn to, and somebody gathers the salt from there, so such a person would be in violation of Ma'amer. But Abaye disagrees. And it's significant, Halacha is Abaye disagreeing with Rava or Rabba, and that's itself subject to debate. But Abaye says, no, ein imur ela b'gedulei karka. You could only have imur when you're involved with dealing with something that grows out of the ground. So it's a machlokas. Had a paskin on that Gemara, it's machlokas, what exactly is going on. There's a lot of questions to be asked. So what we'll try to do, again, in the brief time slot, is just to lay out some of the issues in Ma'amer, some of the points of machlokas, and some of the points that are relevant to understanding other issues in Melacha Shabbos, and hopefully we'll have somewhat of a general overview. So if we assume that Ma'amer means that we're bringing things together, so first of all, do they have to be tied together? So that's a big shaila. It's a question that's not clear at all. Some of the Rishonim, like the Shita L'Haran and others, explicitly assume that you are tying things together in order for it to be some type of Ma'amer. And the Marach or Zarua, so he has a suffix about this, and he quoted his father, the Or Zarua, leaned towards a more machmir view. Apparently you don't necessarily need tying. That was associated with the view of the Yireim, the Reb Elazar Mimitz. And there's a lot of ambiguity about this. The Aruch HaShulchan, for example, says you have to be careful picking up two fruits together in the field, because that might be ma'amer, holding two together in your hand. And others disagreed. Others pointed out, for example, in the Sefer Ketzos HaShulchan, Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, he asserts that there's no such thing as ma'amer when you're doing it in your hand. That even if it doesn't necessarily require tying, it requires that it be held together by something else or put together by something other than your hand. Presumably that touches upon a major premise here, that your hand doesn't have any staying power. So you open your hand, it's going to fall. So there are those who suggest, in the Mekeves HaMishnah, and others commenting on the Mekeves HaMishnah, the Mekeves HaMishnah comments that it has to be some type of a clumping, some type of bringing together. It doesn't necessarily have to be a string, but has to be something that's going to hold things together. So many of the Sfarim have explained that to be that a malacha has to have some staying power. It has to be a malacha hamiskayemes. So if it's not going to stay together in any kind of a way, so then maybe that's not considered to be a malacha. There is a suggestion that's made within the Rambam and within the Shulchan Aruch. They both leave room for such interpretation that maybe when you do something in the field, so then it doesn't necessarily have to be tied together. So you cut down things from the tree, you did an act of kotzer, and now you have produce lying all around the floor, so you bring it together, that's going to be ma'amer even if it's not tied together. But then, let's say, if it's in the household, so then if you want it to be ma'amer, then you'd have to actually tie it together. They say that based on the Rambam, because the Rambam says that it's a toldos ma'amer, and the Shulchan Aruch brings this also. Let's say if you're making a fig cake, you're taking all these figs and you're pressing them together, so they make one big cake, or you are going to make a necklace out of dates, so you're going to poke a hole in them and put a string through them, so then that could be a tolda of ma'amer. So they suggest that in the Rambam, that perhaps there's just different levels of ma'amer, and if you do it in the field, so then it has to be, it doesn't necessarily have to be tied together, but if you're going to do it in the household, then it does have to be tied together. So all of this also is connected to a comment of the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid has a comment over here which has drawn a lot of attention. He doesn't have so much to say on the Mishnah. The Mishnah was just all the Malachas. He doesn't comment on so many of them, but he comments on Ma'amer. So he basically says that Ma'amer is only at the time when it's separated from the ground. And the way he's been read by the later Sfarim is that Ma'amer means that it has to be at that moment, because ein imur achar imur, that you can't have an imur when it's already been mumured, when it's already had the imur done to it, then you can't have imur done to it again. In general, that's a question. We're all familiar with the expression, say ein bishul achar bishul. And it's a question, is that a general klal when it comes to the malachas, that we say a malacha can only happen to something once? And when we say that, we're assuming that it hasn't, let's say, been completely undone. Let's say, so for example, when it comes to bishul achar bishul, we know that we say that if it's liquid, so then you could have bishul achar bishul, because maybe the water, for example, has completely cooled down. But let's say if you have something that's already been cooked once, so then you can't cook it again when it's still cooked. So ein bishul achar bishul. So the Chazon Ish of the Kamer will talk about this in the context of Tochei and a few other places, that maybe this is a cloud, the Chol HaShabbos Kula, that all the Malachos have such a rule, ein something achar something. But others disagree. Others say it depends on the Malachos. So the Dvar Yehoshua, we've mentioned in the past, Yehoshua Menachem Ehrenberg, has a tshuva where he talks at length about this Tosfos Rid, and he says, not so obvious that that's the case, ein imur achar imur, that it depends, that when it comes to bishul, so bishul is about changing something in the object. Okay, so you can only change the object that way once. But here, it's about the fact that you are bundling something, so maybe you could bundle something a couple times. Maybe there isn't such a cloud. So that's the big machlokas. All of these are subject to debate. First of all, do we say that you only have imur at its initial moment of gathering, only at its place of gathering? That's how many do assume. And also, do we have a limitation of gedulei karka that we see here? Seems to be a subject of a machlokas in the Gemara. Those two questions are not necessarily the same, because we see, for example, the first case that's mentioned in the Gemara that Abaye rejects about the salt. So he rejects that because it's not gedulei karka, but theoretically that may not necessarily address the question of where it comes from, that the salt may have satisfied the standard of gathering it where it comes from, but doesn't necessarily satisfy the gedulei karka standard. So this is a subject to debate. And it's also a question, as we alluded to when talking about kotzer, what's the definition of gedulei karka? Gedulei karka could mean different things. Does it mean it literally has to grow out of the ground? Does it mean that it could possibly include animals who eat from the ground? We discussed that a little bit last week. What about something like, could salt theoretically ever meet the standard, even though it seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara, if I say if it comes from the ground, but doesn't grow from the ground? So there's a lot of debate about this, and then one of the questions you have to ask when all of these malachos at least these first couple of melachos, provoke discussions about whether they are limited to gedulei karka or not. So the question is, why would you have such a limitation? Why would you say that something should only be gedulei karka? Would you say because we're following a Mishkan standard? So in the Mishkan, this was done with gedulei karka, and therefore it's kind of a technical rule. It's not that there's anything about the malacha that it has to be specific to gedulei karka, but it's because that's what was done in the Mishkan, so then that's going to be the standard for the malacha. And if it's a technicality, then we might we might have room to define it a little more broadly. Or should we say that it's because some of the malachos, by their very nature, are based on gedulei karka? Like, for example, maybe kotzer might be, according to some of the possibilities we discussed last week, all about separating something from the karka. And therefore, if it's not gedulei karka, maybe the whole definition doesn't even come into discussion. So maybe if we say that ma'amer is really the continuation of the process of kotzer, so maybe it only makes sense to say that there should be that there should be such a standard that it should be considered gedulei karka in that category. It's also a question to ask whether we should also assume that ma'amer is only shayach by ochlin. This was also a topic that the Dvar Yehoshua took up at length in his tshuvas. I think his tshuvas in Chelik Beis and Siman and Aleph, if you want to look it up, a big tshuva. The Menches Chinuch was medayek that the Rambam's position was that it was specifically by Ochlin, because he writes that Hama'amer, the Rambam's language is something along the lines of Hama'amer Ochel im la'achila, because Rambam's talking about the shear. What exactly is the measurement for Imor? So we discussed last week, again, in the context of Kotzer, that Kotzer seems to have different shiurim depending on what you're doing with it. If you're going to eat it, it's one standard. If you're going to feed it to your animals, it's another standard. If you're going to use it for fuel, for burning, it's another standard. So the Rambam, the Menaches Chinuch, thought that he has a redundant language, that he says, Hama'amer Ochel im la'achila, so why do I need to be told that it's ochel for achila? So the Menaches Chinuch thought the Rambam was saying that it shows you that the melacha of ma'amer is only by ochel. So not everyone necessarily accepted this. That was a big discussion as well. There are many who feel that in general all of the Siddur Depas is focused on achila. So maybe that's a standard here, and that's why you find a shiurim that are relevant to achila. Hi.
Presumably, though, that means even according to the understanding of the Rambam, that something that's not food yet, let's say like in the base case of the Mishkan, like wheat, so obviously you can't eat it now, but it'll become food, so you still means that.
Yeah, that's part of the food process. You know, the assumption that there is an assumption in general that all the Siddurei HaPas, that the first 11 malachos, are towards the process of food, but then the question is that the first two are food processes, but they're too early on to be defined as food. So, for example, Zarei and Chorish, we saw some debate about what the shear should be. That should it be a grogeris for most of the malachos that are in the first 11 because of their shear connection, their food connection to a shear, and that Zarei and Chorish are part of that process, even though they're not yet dealing with food. It's Avodas Karka on the way to food. So that's a part of the question, that it could be considered food connected, even if it's not yet at the edible stage.
But Menaches Chinuch also quotes Rashi saying the opposite, that Idafka and Tarivav brings the salt.
Right, so I was about to talk about that. Right, so that's to mention that point. So there's a Gemara, at least with Rashi, that sounds not like that. That the Gemara talks about the Mekosha Sheitzim, the Gemara in Tarivav Mebeis, which Jonathan's making reference to. It's a big irony, because it's a sad irony, if according to this possibility in the Gemara, that the most famous Mechalel Shabbos in history, read about in Parshas Shlach, is the Mekoshei Sheitzim. Here's an example of somebody who was Mechalel Shabbos in the Torah and was punished for his Chilul Shabbos. And despite being such a famous Mechalel Shabbos, it's not clear what malacha he did. So what is the malacha of Mekoshesh? You know, what does that mean? What was he doing? So the Gemara has a discussion over here in Tzadivav Medbeis, a whole discussion about what exactly were his possible malachas, Was it a type of havara? Is it that he was carrying? Is it that he was gathering the wood? And that's therefore a malacha of ma'amer. So all of these are subject to questions, especially a sad irony, because according to one opinion of the Gemara, he was himself doing this sort of nobly in order to teach people about Chilul Shabbos. And it's a tragic end that we don't even know exactly what the Chilul Shabbos was. We have to figure out exactly what was the nature of his Chilul Shabbos. So one of the possibilities being Mekoshesh, and as Jonathan's pointing out, is in the Chesrinuf notes. So first of all, Mekoshesh already being related to Ma'amer is going to suggest that we're not talking about food specifically, if he was gathering wood. But Rashi over here says, Tlushan Mufuzarun Hayuva Amran, Kid Amran, Haiman the Kanif Milcha Chayiv Mishum Ma'amer. He seems to focus specifically on the example, which may or may not be accepted, Lahalacha, about salt, and applying it here, that since he's taking this wood and tying it together, that's going to be the Malacha of Ma'amer. So that's an open debate, whether or not it's limited to food specifically, and that's perhaps a little bit less acceptable halacha, this suggestion of Minchas Chinuch, that you should have such a limitation. Again, so we have a couple of suggested limitations. It's not clear which ones are accepted, which ones are not accepted. All of them seem to be subject to debate. Again, it's a very mysterious halacha, and very often the question comes up why other Gemaras don't mention it. So far what have we seen as possible exceptions? Maybe it has to be Gidulei Karka, maybe it has to be Mokum Gidulo, maybe it has to be the first time you're doing it, and that the Ein Imur Achar Imur, maybe it has to be Ochlin. So all of these are possible exceptions, which just about every one is subject to debate. The Shulchan Aruch does Paskin that it has to be Gidulei Karka, Mokum Gidulo, but also Paskin is one halacha after the other, so it's hard to imagine that it was, just a mistake, even if you could imagine that at all. But in Shin Mem, in Sif Tes, and then in Sif Yod, so one halacha after the other, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that the necklace idea is what the Rambam said about putting the figs together into a cake or stringing together a necklace of dates, that that's also a tolda of Ma'amer. So they ask, how could it be both? So some suggest, like the Chayon that we mentioned earlier, that there's different levels, that the ma'amer that's not necessarily tied together in the field, that can only happen in the field at once. But tying it together is a whole new level of ma'amer, which that could happen even in the bayis. Others suggest that it all depends on what is the derech umnas here, what is the way these things are done. That if it is professionally done through making necklaces, that happens even in the household. But the ma'amer of fruit as produce as part of its production in the normal stage, that happens in the field. So therefore, as some poskim discuss, so maybe nowadays if we have bundling and packaging that takes place in factories, it takes place at a later stage. So maybe that also could have some type of ma'amer to it. So that's a little bit of an ongoing machlokas. Hi.
What if it's required for the process, but isn't the food itself? According to the shita, you need the proper food required for that process.
So what's an example of that?
Well, I was just thinking in the case of equalization, like I don't know how food is produced or anything like that, but let's say you needed wood or something like that to make fire, to fresh to make it into food. Mm-hmm. Would that be considered part of the?
Let's say again, you need the wood.
Let's say you need wood or something, tools that aren't edible themselves, they're not food themselves, but it's required to make whatever the other produce into food. So it's part of that process.
You would call them gudule karka because the wood.
Yeah.
I think that's a stretch. I mean, you find it stretched to animals, you find it stretched to other things that have some connection to the ground. I mean, the truth is, wood itself actually, is gidulei karka. So,
not specifically, it could have been metal or something like that.
Right, so metal would be a harder case, but the wood itself is gidulei karka, so there you don't have the problem per se, you have the problem that it's not ochel. So then if you get into the Chesrinuf's definition, then it's not necessarily going to fit. It's also interesting, there is a question here whether we're focusing on, in terms of trying to define the malacha, so what is happening here? Are we somehow fixing the pre? Let's say, are we taking the produce and we're enhancing it? In which case we're focused on that? Or is it about the creation of this bundle? That somehow this bundle is considered significant? That's part of the issue, because all the malachas of Shabbos, we need to have some type of a significant action. So there is an interesting chiddush in the Eglei Tal that the Ritzi Pesach Frank has a whole shuvah about. That, so let's say you have a shear for ma'amer, let's say it's a grogris. So what if you would take, let's say you have a bundle already, and you take a chatzi shear, you have a half a grogris of some type of produce, and you combine it to the existing bundle. So would that be a malacha of ma'amer that one would be chayiv for? So the Eglei Tal thought that it would be, which is very mechudish, because normally, let's say, if you have a shear, you have to write two letters on Shabbos. So let's say you write one letter before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos you write the second letter, and you complete the shear that way. So Pashas, you're not chayiv for that. You have to do it all together. You have to do it all on Shabbos. So here, what the Eglei Tal seems to be mechadish is that we're focused on the creation of the bundle. So if you made a bundle, or if you added to a bundle on Shabbos, even though you only acted upon something which is less than a shear, that's also considered to be the melacha of ma'amer, which is a very interesting idea. I mean, Cheschinuch has a suffix which would go in a different direction, but would seem to revolve around the same issue. That let's say you took a chatzi shear or something, and you gathered it together, and then you dropped it back, and then you picked it up again. And so basically you were ma'amer a whole shear, but it's the same half a grogris twice. So would that be a malacha of ma'amer? Again, it goes to the question, are we interested in this heftza per se? Are we interested in the creation of a bundle? Which is a little bit of a different perspective. So these are all sfeikis that come up in the definition of this malacha. Many assume that even if you don't necessarily subscribe to some of the other exceptions, but the Aruch HaShulchan, Shvi'is HaShabbos, and others, they assume that we presumably have to be talking about things in their original form. That once something has been processed already, then presumably it's no longer connected to that which is subject to the Isser Ma'amer. And of course, that's very crucial, because otherwise, really, in a dover sof, in terms of bringing things together, when you could potentially be in violation of Ma'amer. Some of the posts can talk about if somebody drops his notes and he gathers them together, would that be an Isser Ma'amer? It's hard to be Machmer in such things. Presumably, at least some of the exceptions, if not all of them, some of the exceptions presumably apply, and it's hard to imagine that you have a processed piece of paper that's far removed from its original state, that's in your house, that's not being tied together, that you put all those aspects together, it's hard to imagine that that's going to be a malacha of ma'amer. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about flower arrangements, which others were machmer on. I think Sosa Shulchan was machmer on making a flower arrangement, putting those flowers together, he thought would be an issue of ma'amer. So Rav Moshe Feinstein wasn't so sure that it's really usher to do that. The others, Rav Harfman has discussed this as well in his Shuvas Nishma Shabbos, at least not in Nisar Deraisa, maybe some kind of a Derabana. And the issues at stake are as follows. So first of all, it is a shiloh whether you could have ma'amer by a different minute, that maybe the whole nature of gathering is that you're gathering the same kind of things together in a bundle. So if you're mixing different things together, and each thing maintains an independent identity, so then perhaps that's not considered to be ma'amer somewhat by definition. That's a discussion the poskim also have about the dalet minim on sukkahs. You know, on Yom Tov, presumably there should be an iser ma'amer also. But part of the whole chap of the dalet minim is that even though they come together, but each one maintains its distinct identity, and that's a shiloh whether there is any such union of ma'amer. Now you might say flowers are all flowers. It doesn't make a difference what kind of flowers they are or what color they are. You can get into all kinds of different discussions about what's the same type of min, what's different. Of course, that's going to be a relevant distinction when it comes to figuring out the malacha of borer. But here it comes out lakulu that maybe if something is a different min, when borer we're talking about separating one thing from another, that if it's all the same min, so that's a reason to be mako, at least according to some of the Rishonim here. If things are different minim, that would be more a reason to be mako. And maybe if something maintains its identity, even when it's brought together with something else, then maybe that's also not called maybe that's also not called ma'amer. So Rav Moshe has this tshuva about the flowers. So he points out, and Rav Harfenis is a tshuva also, where he leans lakula, and the two svaras they focus on, separate from the separate minim idea, is that, first of all, it's not meant to last, it's not meant to stay that way. So perhaps that's a basis lahakel, as we've seen. Again, it goes back to the whole question of tying things together. And also, Rav Moshe emphasizes that the nature of his safek is that you're doing this for aesthetic purposes. And presumably there's something in Ma'amer that it's about Shmiras HaPri or Tikkun HaPri. Somehow you're completing a creation here, and maybe you're doing it so it should be protected, it should be gathered together in one unit. But if it's there simply so it looks nicer, so he wasn't so sure that that was really related to the Malacha of Ma'amer or not. Rav Harfenis has a truth about bungling packages to throw it in Afruf. Would that be an issue of Ma'amer? Again, you're going to have to figure out the various issues that we've mentioned before, whether it's even relevant. But there he emphasizes, there the whole point is you need to hold them together so that it'll fly through the air safely. So that's where the Tzad Chumra comes from. If you're going to throw candies in an Afruf, right? So you're going to, let's say, bundle them together and throw them, so you have a couple of Stadim Lekul, a couple of Stadim Lechumra. You have to figure out all the various fakes that we've mentioned. But the issue that's the Chumra is that the point is you want them to hold together in one entity while they're flying through the air. So that's something to factor in. There is an interesting essay, if you look, in the fancy editions of the Tosfos Rid. So the Tosfos Rid, as we said, is one of the major makoros on this topic. His comment that has been, where he doesn't say the words, Ein Imur Achar Imur, but has been defined as saying Ein Imur Achar Imur. So the Tosfos Rid is one of the major battleground makoros on this sugya. So there's a fancy edition of the Tosfos Rid where there are ha'aris on the bottom from Rav Nissen Zaks. So Rav Nissen Zaks has a big essay over there where he goes through everything. You know, it's some of these footnotes are some of these farim of the footnotes, or you have to know the right ones, but some of them are especially rich. They kind of modestly hide their major works behind the works of the Rishonim. So I guess this is such an example. So if you look at this comment of the Tosfos Rid, he takes this as a springboard to have a whole essay about everything in the concept of Ma'amer. And he basically asserts as the Yesod as follows. And this is a little bit of synergy because theoretically we're in the first parak of Shabbos right now, although we're temporarily observing Hanukkah, but after Hanukkah is over, we're in the first parak of Shabbos. So one of the first issue in Shabbos, and God willing, we at least will get this far, hopefully, after Hanukkah, the first issue in Shabbos is defining the malacha of Hotzah. And Hotzah, the Rishonim have this expression that it's a malacha geruah. There's something about it that we can't relate to as well as we can other malachas. So essentially what Rav Nissen Zaks asserts over there is that Ma'amer has something in common with Hotzah. So some good synergy there, that Ma'amer is a little bit similar to Hotzah. I think you could also draw some comparisons to Borer also, as we alluded to and we'll see a little bit more. Borer and Ma'amer have in common that there's a lot of subjectivity in terms of defining what's going on. And that's really what he's zeroing in on, that Ma'amer is an action which does not sound significant. That all other malachas, or most other malachas, this is what some of the Rishonim say in the context of Hotzah, that normally if you're going to cook something or plant something or write something, so we see that you made a tikkun in the world, we see that you did something significant. But Ma'amer is somewhat vague, it doesn't really seem like you've made much of an impact. You bring two things together, maybe two isn't even enough, you bring a couple of things together, especially you don't tie them, whatever it is, it's not really clear that you have done anything that is so significant. So he suggests that all of these qualifications that you find in the Rishonim and all these battleground issues all emanate from the same concern that Ma'amer by itself lacks chashivas, lacks definition as a significant action. And therefore, in order for it to be a malacha, it needs something to push it up a notch. It needs something to make it a little bit more significant. So that's why you have various points the Rishonim are suggesting, whether or not they are accepted by all other Rishonim or not. But each one of them he suggests is all an effort in that direction to make Ma'amer something a little more formalized. So it gives us a good opportunity in the last minute to chazer what some of them were, but that it has to, davka be part of the ksira process, or that it has to be tied together, or that it has to, davka be ochel, or that it has to be something that's not going to be repeated, or that it has to be something kederach omnin. All of these conditions, he says, are all expressions of this idea that it has to be something chashuv, and that lacking that, it's not going to really make it on the malacha scale. And there is also a view of the Meiri, whether or not the Meiri meant this, you could argue, but some of the Achronim read into the Meiri, that you have to have kavanas imur, you have to have intent to make a bundle, to make a gathering when you're doing this. So the Primosha, as a nice sefer on the malachas and others, raised the question that, okay, but we have a principle of davar sheino miskaven on Shabbos, that even if you don't have intent, but it's a psik resha, if you're going to do something, it's definitely going to result in that. So then, normally that's aser, probably daraisa. So why is he all of a sudden saying that when it comes to this malacha, you have to have kavanas? So he suggests that more than other malachas, this malacha is really dependent on your intent, that you could do the exact same type of action without any awareness that you're bundling things together, that you're creating some type of unit. So then he suggests, based on this Meiri, that wouldn't even be a psik resha. It's not like other malachas where you could inadvertently plant something or cook something or trigger some electricity, for example, that here, if you're going to do this action, you're going to do the physical pulva without any type of awareness that it's an act of Imur, then it's not even going to rise to the level of anything. And it's consistent with this theory that Rav Dissin Zaks and others are asserting that the malacha, without some type of awareness, without certain degrees, certain things that make it chashuv, wouldn't otherwise be a malacha. So it's a little bit of a scary concept, this mysterious malacha of Ma'amer, just to close on this note, because it's one of the Lamatas malachas. Therefore it's something it could be chayiv skila for, it's a big deal, but the definition is a little bit vague, and we don't have really absolute guidelines, even in the later svarim, as to what exactly violates it. We have various suggestions in the poskim, so we have to try to figure out as best as possible what meets the standard, but it does seem to be, as a general rule of thumb, that would have to be somewhat of an intentional, purposeful gathering together of produce, probably for the first and only time, b'makum gidulo, in order to qualify. And again, as also the Sfarim point out, that the Gemara is pretty explicit that even something that was done in the Mishkan only makes the standard of a malacha hach b'mishkan chashiva, that there theoretically could have been things that Machlokas had to read that Gemara at the beginning of Bava Kamma, but that theoretically you could have had things that happened in the Mishkan that were not necessarily chashuv. It's not automatic that something in the Mishkan becomes a malacha. So in order for Ma'amer to rise to this level, it has to be a crucial part of this production process, and lacking that, it's not going to necessarily rise to the level of a malacha. Okay, so I think we, even in our limited period of time, we managed to hit some of the highlights, some of the key points. Just in terms of tomorrow, we have a party, a Rishiyah party, and in terms of the sugyas, I'll explain this more tomorrow.